The Wally Show podcast is our daily radio show heard live through the WayFM app each morning and hosted by Wally, Gavin, and me, Betty Rock. For more fun, be sure to connect with us at wayfm.com/Wally.
The Wally Show podcast is brought to you by Colorado Christian University Online, where Wally teaches and where you can earn a degree online just like Betty Rock. You can learn more at ccu.edu/Wally. This podcast is also brought to you by United Faith Mortgage. Let their direct lender advantage save you time and money.
Uplifting WayFM.
Stories served with a side of Southern sass.
You're breaking my hair!
I mean charm. Here's Betty Rock.
While many of us laugh and shake our heads at the crazy things those from the older generation say, some things, it turns out, we actually agree with. There was a list that was put together of popular opinions that boomers have that many of us in our younger generations, no matter our age, would say, yeah, Grandma, or yeah, Wally, you're right.
No, see, that's it. That's just it. You keep putting me in the boomer category. The boomer is my parents. I'm a Gen Xer.
But you act like a boomer.
I have boomer traits, but I think but they're good traits. That's the thing. And I think that's what you're talking about,
well,
is that
yeah.
Other people agree.
So, well, not with everything that you say, but there was a list.
Go ahead.
So a couple of things that made the list that we agree with you on are... You as a generation, you want to read and research things online without having to create an account for everything.
Yes.
We agree with you.
Okay, good.
Yeah, the younger generation agrees with you. I am sick to death of having to come up with a username and a password for anything and everything.
And it's just because they want your information so they can put you on their email list.
Which
and
you
blow
have to unsubscribe from later.
Exactly. And it's for the dumbest little things. You know, it's kind of like, it's analogous to Radio Shack. You might not remember this, but anyone my age does. Members Radio Shack. You'd go into Radio Shack. I'd like to buy this battery, please, sir. And they're like, what's your zip code and address and your phone number? Like, what? I just want to buy a battery. And they're like, yeah, we kind of need this.
So that's been happening for a while.
Yeah, that you had to do it face-to-face and tell someone no. Mm. And now you don't have that option. You're like, I'd like to look at this on the internet. They're like, oh, well, you're going to need a password. See? Yeah, I'm frustrated. My heart's going.
Another one was, when you call a business, you want to speak to a live person on the phone, not a robot.
Yes.
I get this because I am sick to death. Gavin, maybe you are too. About saying, talk to a representative.
Okay, get this. I was calling Safelite, okay, to talk to a representative.
You notice he already has like a story.
Well, because they messed up. Like, they messed up. You done messed up, Aaron. And so I was trying to call them, and I couldn't call a single specific store. It would have a phone number, and it would go right to a... automated the national one. Finally, I beat the system, though. Here's how you beat the system. There is a thing on the computer for, do you want to chat with someone live now? And I said, yes, I do. So I get on the chat, and I go, and I literally just say, hey, I want to talk to a live person now. And they're like, and it's typed, but it sounded like that in my head. Now. And they sent me back a different phone number that was not published anywhere that let me get to a live person. Who, that lady was a delight, by the way. She was fantastic.
You showed them.
The loophole.
But I got it. So that might be a thing that helps you. Like, if you're not getting anywhere with live service, try the chat and say you want to talk to someone on the phone live. It worked for me.
And then finally, I hope this one doesn't lead us on a rant. Paper menus are way better than QR codes.
Okay.
I remember when I went to Chewy's with my mom and dad. Now, they're in their 60s. I had to show them how to get their smartphones out, turn the camera on, use the QR code, and they've got a little beat-up Android, and it's just like, this is not happening.
And the internet halfway works.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, that's such an annoying thing. But COVID changed all of that. And honestly, the older you get, you're looking at your phone and it's all this small print and you're trying to figure it out.
Got
to
put your glasses on. You're like a saxophone trying to figure out now how far.
Yeah, trombone. Yeah. And like, And so like it's the worst delivery system for information for a restaurant. You know, and so, yeah, absolutely.
Well,
paper
just know the next
day.
Time that you rant about these things, that there will be younger people that agree with you.
There are people with curly mustaches that are like, yeah, I absolutely agree
Toots,
with this.
Man, I totally agree with what you're saying.
Up Uplifting Way FM. This here's the Wally Show, and we're going to do a little thing called One Word Weekend. This is where you give us one word to describe your weekend, and we'll try to guess kind of like what went down or what happened. To give you a little tutorial here, Betty Rock, One Word Weekend, go.
Yeah, I think that mine is one word. It just has a hyphen. No.
Okay.
A little, what do you call it, dash in the middle?
A hyphen. Yeah. You're right. Don't doubt yourself.
Oopsie poopsies.
Oh.
Sure. Okay. I would put the hyphen in there for sure.
Oopsie poopsies.
Can I ask if this is literal?
Please say it's not.
It's not.
Okay, good. Now I'm going to go a different direction then.
We're all safe now.
All right. Oopsie poopsies. I'm going to say it involves like making a mistake, obviously. And you were backing out of your driveway and you backed into another car, and then you deliberated over whether or not you should leave a note, and then...
Did I?
You did not, no.
I didn't?
You're not the best person.
Oopsie poopsies.
Oopsie poopsies. Sorry, cute girl problem.
Must be nice.
Yeah.
No, that's not it.
Okay, good. You're a good person. That's what I meant. Gavin?
I think that you were going to Chick-fil-A, going through the drive-thru, and the person who was handing your food was like a teenage girl.
Mm-hmm.
And as she hands you the food... She drops it, falls in between you and the car in the restaurant, and she's the one who hits you with the oopsie poopsies.
I would have smacked her. No.
Yeah, Betty loves Chick-fil-A that much. With her.
No, that's not it.
So, all right, what happened?
My friend, Kelsey, she was repainting her bedroom, and she asked if I would help her and come over.
Please tell me you stepped in paint and walked on the floor.
Close. So I'm up at the top and I'm like trying to get like the door frame area and not get paint on it.
Yeah.
But as I'm doing that, I tip the tray that's holding the paint and made this huge blob on her carpet.
No!
Her cream carpet.
No!
So I'm pretty sure she regrets asking me.
Yes!
But we used some like carpet cleaner and it pretty much came
out.
It's like you can maybe see like a little something.
Is this doorway area? Can we put a rug over it?
Well, maybe. Ultimately, wasn't it her fault that she didn't put like a clear matting down?
Her fault for inviting
you over. Yeah, I don't think that's,
So I just was like, oopsie poopsie.
Yeah.
Oh, that is the worst.
That's terrible.
I meant well.
I know you did, but that is so bad.
I'd never have you back over.
For anything. Yeah. Not even just helping, like just in general.
Okay, guys. Okay, I was vulnerable. It doesn't mean that you need to like pull
Has she
down.
Called you since then? And so it begins. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. And I know we were kicking off One Word Weekend, but when Betty Rock shared hers, which was oopsie poopsie, and she explained what she did while she was asked to help a friend paint.
Yeah, she asked me to help paint her bedroom. I accidentally spilled some paint on the carpet.
Yeah, not on hardwood, on carpet.
I didn't mean to. And
I know.
I said oopsie poopsies.
I know, that makes it all better.
And like, also, too, at least we caught it right then, because then we were able to get it off the carpet.
Ish.
And, well, I would say we got 80% of it up off
80, the carpet. That's worse than I thought.
Really?
I thought you were going to say like 90%. That's so bad.
It was a really dark color and a very light carpet.
Oh, man. See, I know she regrets inviting. I know she said, oh, it's fine. But every time she looked at that spot, she's probably going to name it.
She's going to be like, oh, yay.
There's
Betty.
Betty.
Yeah. Let me text her. See how she's doing.
Yeah.
I miss her.
Oh, gee. Okay. So here's the deal. This is so bad. I mean, this is beyond bad. I know you don't feel as bad as you should about
it.
Oh, you should feel really bad about that. And so I am curious, were you ever asked to help somebody, but you made it worse? Because that's what happened with Betty. Hey, come over and help me paint. And then when you spill paint on their carpet, you're like, I regret having you come over here. I regret every decision I've ever made with regards to you.
Wow.
I know it's that serious.
No, it's not.
It is. Trust me.
She didn't take it that personal.
She did. She just didn't say it.
What?
So,
really?
Yeah. So have you ever made a situation worse when you were asked to help? Or vice versa. If you ask someone to help, you can share your story. If you've got a Betty in your life, someone totally Betties it up.
I am not an adjective.
855-33-WAY-FM. I know I'm switching gears here, but I really want to hear this. 855-33-WAY-FM. Have you ever been asked to help and then made the situation worse, or asked somebody to help and they made it worse? 855-33-WAY-FM. I'm curious, Jody, have you ever asked anybody to help and they made it worse, or you were asked to help and you made it worse?
Actually, I asked for help, and while we were there, somebody decided to cook lunch for us while we were actually painting our new house, which was great. And then their wife decided to fill the sink with soapy water and submerge my cast iron skillet to clean it for me.
Oh, and you can't do that. You have to be very careful with how you clean a cast iron skillet.
Correct, and you never use soap.
I've never understood that. It seems so unsanitary. Like, they call it, what, seasoning?
Yes.
And basically, it's just all the crud you've ever cooked before that doesn't come off.
Yeah, you can go clean it. It's just not with the conventional soap.
Okay, so you scrape it and stuff.
So did she ruin it?
Thankfully, I was able to re-soak it in hot water, and then that opens the pores again and lets some of the water or the soap, you know, release. But I had to do that, like, 3 or 4 times to get the soap taste out of it.
Oh, because otherwise your food would taste like soap. Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
Susan, will you ever have this friend over again to cook?
Not to cook, but we have had them over again.
Well, hey, I appreciate you being on the show with us today, Susan. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Monday School. It's Wally's take on what he learned at church, or at least the parts he understood.
So in the new year, people tend to search for purpose. It's kind of natural. Most of us do that in some form. And, you know, we look for that thing that fulfills us. And we try so many things, you know, hobbies, work, money, people, you name it. But our purpose, when we boil it down, is very simple and it's biblical. It's to know God and to make him known. That's why we're here. Mm-hmm. And if we were to run our life through that filter, it will change the way we live. It will change what we value. Matthew 28:19 is kind of what we were talking about. Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey what I've commanded you. And it reminded me of that song, Betty's Gonna Cringe, from Petra, Back to the Streets.
Jesus said, go!
Doesn't get much more scriptural than Petra when it comes to.
So bad.
No, it's so good.
The message is great.
Yeah.
But the delivery is horrible.
You don't like the Bible.
Oh. That's not what I'm saying.
Because that was right out of the Bible.
You can separate Petra and the Bible.
I don't know if you can because they're really scriptural, but whatever. We'll pray for you. Okay, so, you know, we talk all the time with our friends about work and movies, you know, but we get shy when it comes to spiritual conversations. And the Bible says we always need to be ready to have those spiritual conversations. It's like be prepared to give an answer, you know. Mm-hmm. About why you're different. And so this is the actual verse. And there were a couple things that stood out to me. It says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give them a reason for the hope that you have. Do this with gentleness and respect. Here are the two things that really stuck out to me on this. One, it says, for those who ask. Does that mean that we shouldn't have, you know, spiritual conversations? Absolutely not. Like, initiate them? No. But what it does say to me is, you know, they should be seeing a difference in how we live enough that they want to ask, what's different about mm-hmm. you
know? Yeah, they want to see some kind of hope in you.
Exactly.
Where other people have lost it.
Yeah, we should look so different that people are like, I need to know why, you know? Mm-hmm. And I thought that part was interesting. But then also, too, the gentleness and respect part. You know, we live in a world that's very divided, and there are so many things that we encounter every day that are kind of in direct conflict or opposition to what we believe. But like Mark Hall from Casting Crowns told me one time, he said, you can't blame lost people for doing lost stuff. But we tend to do that because you don't believe what I believe. Well, they're not under the law, if you will, yet, mm-hmm. you know? And so, yeah, of course, they're not going to behave the way you think they should behave or the way the Bible says they should, you know? But a lot of times we're like, we got to get your behavior first, then the relationship. And mm-hmm. God, and Jesus was completely opposite. He's, come to me, bring all your garbage to me. Mm-hmm. We'll work on that other stuff later, but just come to me first, you know? And so we have a choice in how we deal with all this. We can join an angry dissertation, or we can be set apart and express our faith with gentleness and respect. And I think that's how you bring people to God, and that's how we make disciples, you know, in the process too. It grows our faith as well. So there you go. That's your Monday School for today.
Coffee shops, poolside, back porch, picnic table at the park, at your kid's soccer practice. Just about anywhere can be your classroom when you decide to go back to school online at Colorado Christian University.
I know I got my degree online, and I actually did a homework at a campsite. I was sitting around a campfire writing a paper. That is where I did some of my work that weekend. So life doesn't have to stop just because you go back to school to better yourself. You can work towards this future and this goal that you want to accomplish, and it doesn't have to totally consume you or derail your normal life with friends, your family, or what have you.
And you can earn accredited degrees from Colorado Christian without ever setting foot on campus.
So there really shouldn't be an excuse to not going back to school. If it's something you really want to do, you can do it. And all you have to do is go to ccu.edu/Wally to learn more. And the other really important thing is that Colorado Christian is committed to cultivating the mind without compromising the heart. So check it out, ccu.edu/Wally.
Uplifting Way FM.
We definitely need a little more of this in the world.
That's how you do it, kids.
It's the Wally Show.
So DeMar Hamlin, the Buffalo Bills 24-year-old player who suffered a heart attack on the field last week, had to be resuscitated during the middle of the game. You've probably seen or heard the story. Is in the hospital and improving. And he posted a picture of himself doing the Taylor Swift heart hands with Bills players, like before they played the Sunday night game, all showing their love for him. They had t-shirts pregame that said love for Hamlin. They ran out on the field with banners that say pray for Hamlin. The attention that all of a sudden prayer has received as a result of this. You know, DeMar also tweeted, nothing I want more than to be running out of that tunnel with my brothers. God using me in a different way today. Tell someone you love them today.
Oh, wow. Aww.
And you're like, all right, man. See, again, this story just keeps going. And it's a great example of how God uses things to point people back to him when we've kind of lost our way. We've lost our way in this world and in this country for sure. Mm-hmm. We've vilified prayer. You know, you got high school football coaches that want to pray after a game being told no. But then you sit there and you watch this and you watch a whole Buffalo Bills team gather around and pray after the incident. And I think you said this happened at another game not related to this.
Yeah, there was the Titans and Jaguars, just like right before kickoff, you saw like 100 people on their knees praying before the game, mentioning Hamlin's name, just praying for safety over the whole team and anyone playing.
And the thing that we vilify, like to our students in high school, you don't want to pray. Well, God forbid someone learn something about hope and faith. You know, we can't have our kids learning that. Then it's played out in a professional arena, you're like, man, that's great. That's a great thing for these kids to see.
But I think that's awesome to see that God can work his way into anything. Like, we can't put him in a box.
No.
He can make his name known.
Well, look at this. Gavin had pulled this audio. We played it Friday. If you haven't heard it, it's great. It's an example of this from an ESPN announcer who was talking about the whole situation with DeMar and how people are like, thoughts and prayers.
I've heard it all day, like, thoughts and prayers. I've heard the Buffalo Bills organization say that we believe in prayer. Maybe this is not the right thing to do, but it's just on my heart that I want to pray for
it is.
DeMar Hamlin right now. I'm going to do it out loud. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to bow my head, and I'm just going to pray for him. God, we come to you in these moments that we don't understand, that are hard, because we believe that you're God, and coming to you and praying to you.
And he goes on to just have this really great, well-constructed, honest, genuine prayer that probably hasn't ever really been done on ESPN before, you know? And I love that. And it's just God reclaims things. But here's the interesting point in all this, though. You know, we look at that verse in Romans, where Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. It's not really great for DeMar. Like, he had a heart attack at 24 on the field.
He wouldn't choose that.
No, none of us would, you know? But there is good that happens as a result of it. And I think that's where we get it twisted sometimes. We think, as a believer, everything's supposed to work for my good, but that's my self-centric nature coming in. And God looks at things in a way bigger picture, a different economy, and he says, okay, now this isn't great for DeMar, and this doesn't feel good for him right now, but man, people's their eyes and their focus are going to be turn to me, and some good is going to come out of this bad situation. So a lot of really great things coming from this, and it's been interesting to watch. And thankfully, the other part of this is, I think a lot of people, I know we don't pray all the time expecting outcomes exactly the way we want them to, but I think a lot of people that don't know a lot about prayer will be like, oh my goodness, people were praying for him and he's made a full recovery.
Right.
You know, like, so there's power. They might see that there's power in prayer as well. So there's a lot of wins here today beyond just doing well on the football field.
Where'd you hear that?
The internet.
And you believed it?
Yeah, they can't put anything on the internet that isn't true.
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. I'm gonna do a little googling right now, okay? This is where I know we can go to the internet for things, but I like to talk to real people with real experiences. That's why we Google, not Google, okay? So here's my question. I was thinking the other day, I saw like a locksmith van running around, and I thought, man, that's really interesting. A skill. I would love to learn how to pick locks. I don't even know why. I just get myself in my house when I forget my key or something. I don't know. Just to know you could do it would be kind of dope. But then I thought, people that are criminals, why don't they all go to locksmith school and learn how to pick locks? Like, why would you not do that if you're a criminal? Be good at what you're going to do and, like, have an advanced education.
Advanced education on how to commit a crime.
Exactly.
Wow.
So it made me start thinking, are there certain things, like if you go to locksmith school, do you have to register with the government as a locksmith?
And get fingerprinted.
Exactly. That's what I'm wondering. Do you have to have some sort of accountability so that you don't just lockpick everybody, you know? Like,
But then again, you think, okay, so if they got fingerprinted,
right,
and let's say that they did rob a safe or something in a bank, well, they'll say, well, your fingerprints are on it. Well, yeah, because I was working on it.
Right. Like, well, and also they're going to wear gloves because they know, too.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, that's a simple solution.
Obviously, see, I don't know how to commit a crime.
I know you don't, but I've thought of this. Not the crime, but I've thought of, like, I'm just curious. So if you were a locksmith, you have a locksmith in your family, maybe your parent was a locksmith or something, or you just know because you were a criminal and you were investigating this, I would love to, that's probably who listens. I would love to know what keeps someone from a criminal from becoming a locksmith? Is there anything in place? You know, like, say you don't have any, you know, criminal record yet, and you're just dabbling in the criminal arts, you know, starting.
Also, say you have someone listening and they're questioning, should they go in the crime working
right.
business?
Maybe
or
this
not.
Will help deter it.
No.
Yeah, it could help deter it.
No, you're just putting more ideas into their head. Maybe I should go to school to learn how to do it.
But this might deter it because someone might go, you can't do that because you have to register with the government. Mm. I don't know. This is why, again, we Google things. So I know this is a real niche here, but maybe you've had a locksmith come out to fix, you know, something and you've asked him this question because you were just as curious and inquisitive as I am. So 855-33-WAY-FM. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. I'd love for you to give us some information on this right now. Did you used to be a locksmith, Gavin was telling me?
Yeah, I used to be a locksmith for about 2 to 3 years, and I worked for a company that did emergency roadside service, but I also knew how to unlock cars as well.
Oh, that's pretty dope.
I do carry my lockpicks with me.
Oh, that's so cool. Like, have you ever picked a lock just to impress somebody?
Not really. I've done it for needs of friends and whatnot, just to save them the $150, $200 locksmith bill. But other than that, nah.
Okay, so let's get back to the really important stuff. What would keep a criminal from becoming a locksmith? Like, I'm wondering, do you have to register with the government or something like that so they have a record of you having this skill?
Depending upon the state, you'd have to have a license to be a locksmith. However, the one thing that's going to keep a criminal from becoming a locksmith is the time it takes to unlock a lock. Most crooks, when they want to rob a house or, you know, get into a vehicle or something, they want to get in and out as quick as possible. And that's why when most people get their cars robbed or their houses robbed, the doors kicked in or the windows broken out, because it's, you know, 2 seconds to break a window or kick a lock in rather than, you know, 15 to 30 minutes to pick a lock, depending upon the type of lock.
Oh, I didn't know it took that long. It never takes Tom Cruise that long. Like, he's in and out.
Well, we can't all have that good of a movie set.
That's true. That's very true. We can't all be that short and good looking. Well, I'm that short.
No, actually, he's taller than you.
Well, Michael, I appreciate you shedding some light on this here and helping us Google this today. It really did answer a burning question for me. If I wanted to go get a locksmith, like, certification, is it going to cost me a bunch of money, and can I do it in a weekend, or is it like an apprentice thing that I got to spend like 6 months doing?
To be honest, if you want to become a locksmith and you have the money to spend on practice kits, you can actually go onto Amazon and or some other location and buy a practice kit and learn how to pick padlocks and regular locks, and you get lock picks.
This is why we have issues.
I have the Amazon app, and I already have my phone picking kit coming to me.
Michael,
thank you, Michael.
Take care, guys.
Uplifting Way FM. This is the Wally Show. And if you're anything like me, you are glued to your phone. Like, my phone is never more than arm's reach away. And if it is, I, like, will run, go get it. Like, my wife will leave her phone in the other room, and I'll walk it into her and go, oh, hey, your phone was in the kitchen. She's like, I know. I'm like, well, don't you want it attached to you somehow?
You want everyone else to have their phone as much as you have your
phone. So I can get a hold of them if I need to.
You know what I'm coming to find out is extroverts and introverts treat their phones differently.
Extroverts
want their phones around because they want to feel...
something fun could happen.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas introverts are more like, I don't really care if something happens and I miss it. I'm good.
So Betty Rock put forth this idea of what three apps would you keep on your phone if you could only keep three apps, you know? And so I am curious if that even is different for introverts and extroverts.
Now, when we had this conversation, Wally started thinking about what three apps he would choose. Mm-hmm. We started realizing there's problems with every app that you would get rid of. So if you got rid... He picked TikTok,
obviously, because that at least can entertain me for hours on end.
Right. You also chose two other ones. Either way, he didn't keep his contacts app, which means that he does not know his wife's number by heart, so he would not know how to contact, call, or text his wife, nor his daughter.
Now I have an excuse, though. I didn't have your contact info.
But he knows how to get the most recent TikTok videos.
Absolutely.
So that's all that matters.
Yeah. So if you could only have three apps, it's a tough question when you think about it. Because like Betty said, there's problems with every one. Like, oh, I could keep this, but then there's a ripple effect. Which three apps would you have to keep on your phone? I'm just really curious.
And why?
Yeah.
Like, because if you start thinking about it, it makes you realize how dependent we are on our phones, how much we need it, because I realized I can't get rid of my GPS.
Oh, yeah. You would be lost.
I'd be lost.
Anywhere.
Yeah. So I have to keep that.
All right. So what is it for you? 855-33-WAY-FM. You only have three apps that you can keep on your phone. What are they and why? 855-33-WAY-FM. What three apps would you choose to keep on your phone and why?
Definitely the contacts app, because I don't know everybody's phone number.
Yeah, 10 years ago, before smartphones owned our lives, we had to know people's phone numbers and addresses by memory, but not now.
Well, I know my husband's phone number by heart, my sister-in-law's. Like, I know my family. It's just my friends I don't know. So.
I know my wife's phone number because it's one digit off of mine, and I don't know my daughter's.
That's hilarious. I do the text app as well, because it helps my friends stay in contact with me. My work stays in contact with me, so text app. And then I would have to say TikTok app, just because it's entertaining.
Maria, you get it. I mean, it is like, it's addicting. It's like, oh, I thought only 30 minutes had passed. No, it's been 2 hours.
It's not only entertaining, but I get a lot of my recipes from there, too.
There's a lot of stuff you have to weed through, some garbage, but there is some interesting things, some informative things, and I always want the Chinese government to know where I am. So that's why I'm going to keep it.
I don't know about that part, but you know.
Hey, Maria, thanks for being on with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, have a great day.
You too.
Uplifting WayFM.
He's wise beyond his years.
I can't really tell, but it seems like he's very good.
Here's Gavin.
We are getting further and further into the new year, and I'm sure New Year's resolutions are still at the top of people's minds. Maybe you're a successful week into them already, and if so, I'm jealous.
I've already failed.
Congratulations, good for you. But I actually found this fascinating article that challenges people to not only think of their own resolutions for the year, but to also come up with ones for their pets as well.
Oh, I actually have one for my cat.
Oh, yeah?
Like, if you're actually going to get sick on the hardwood floors. Like, not the carpet. That dumb cat, I love her to death, but for the love, she'll look at me and start to go, and then she'll run. I'm like, no, freeze, freeze, freeze. And she runs to the carpet, and I have to chase her and sling her back onto the hardwood
floors. You know, another resolution you should make for her is to aim for the litter box.
Yes.
Because she is really bad about going outside of the litter box.
I have no idea. I mean,
she's
stupid. I'm gonna have to let my wife work on that one, because I miss too. But like,
Take it back.
She's like, you're a hypocrite.
Oh, man.
Anyway, okay. On to the other ones, Gavin.
So the first one that they had was watch the treats. One vet expert says that the number of obese pets has been on the rise, and that ultimately that's our responsibility, because they're not the ones feeding themselves.
So that's true.
Most of the times, I will say my dog did grab a beef patty off the top of a counter, so if he gets fat, that's on him,
right?
Not me. for leaving it out.
Because, yeah, theoretically, we control their food if you lock everything up. Yep. If you have a fat cat or a fat dog, it kind of probably is on you if they're not an outside animal.
Yes, exactly. So kind of building off of diet, the next one was bring on the zoomies, which for dogs, you know, they say walk them twice a day or have a frisbee or a ball ready to get them that level of exercise because it's healthy for their hearts to reach a certain pace. And for that to be healthy, which is something that applies to humans as well. I don't know how you guys handle, like, cat
We play
zoomies.
String.
Okay.
We play string. I have a string, and I like, spin it in a circle, and she chases it, and then I unwind her. And for 15 years old, she's really good at string. She loves
it. Well done.
I got a second cat, so they take care of each other.
That's true. Now Betty has to do nothing. You've taken the laziness of owning a cat and just ratcheted it up
a
little.
Yes, I did.
Cancels itself out.
Yeah.
And then the last one was focus on grooming. Kind of simple. Mm. Brushing their hair kind of like gets their blood flowing, which is good. Oh. But then they add something onto this that I actually think is the true challenge and therefore is not the pet's resolution, but hard for us. It's brushing their teeth ourselves.
Oh, no.
And I fully believe that it's good, and I would love my pets, but I just don't see me doing it.
It's needed for dogs.
Yeah.
For cats, I don't know.
Try it with a cat. You probably won't come back with all your fingers.
No.
You know, it doesn't work really well. Although my cat had to have like 10 teeth pulled, so.
You do not take care of her.
No, I do. I do. I don't. But
she's a hot mess.
She is a hot mess. That is very accurate.
I'll never forget taking my first compassion trip, and we went to Ghana, Africa. When we got there to the site, there was this little girl. She was 6 years old. I later found out her name was Vivian, and she would not let go of my hand. She followed me everywhere I went on that site. And later, I got to meet her family. I met her mother and her siblings, and they all lived in this little mud hut. I mean, it wasn't big at all. And when I looked at Vivian, she had the biggest smile on her face, and she was just happy to be there, just happy to be with us. And it made such an impact in my life that I wanted to sponsor her right then and there. Because of my sponsorship for Vivian through Compassion, I'm able to write letters back and forth with her. I'm now getting updated photos, and now I think she's even taller than me, which is crazy to think. But I'm also able to see how my sponsorship is providing the food, clean water, and other support that she needs and her family needs to live the best life possible. And I can only imagine now with the pandemic, war, and weather disasters, there are so many other families like Vivian's who are dealing with hunger. So maybe you want to make an impact and sponsor your own Vivian. Just click the Compassion banner when you go to wayfm.com.
Uplifting Way FM. This is The Rock Report with Betty Rock.
Back in 2000, Hugh Jackman was first given the role of X-Men's Wolverine. At the time, Hugh was around 32 years old,
okay.
So he was older, but not, like, old.
Still in really good shape for that movie. Like, he was still jacked.
Yeah. Well, to prepare for the role, Hugh had to be really strict with his exercise as well as his diet so he could pass for the part of a superhero. Now, some 20 years later, the man is still playing the part. He's now 54 years old.
That's the same age as me.
He was recently asked to star as Wolverine in another film.
You're saying I could be Wolverine?
No, I'm not. Not at all.
Take that thought back.
Well, let me tell you what he has to do to prepare himself for the role again. So, for 6 months, he's going to set aside for cardio that will consist of bench presses, leg squats, sit-ups, and lifts, while his diet involves no carbs.
Oh, boo.
No chips, no bread, no pasta.
Yeah.
During work days, and you have to be still strict on weekends.
Mm-hmm.
But the other rule is to involve intermittent fasting.
Oh, that's hard.
Oh, yeah. That's a lot of people are doing that.
Yeah, you only have a window of time where you can eat, and then you can't eat anything after that.
Okay, so I'm not going to be Wolverine, it turns out.
What?
Yeah, I know. Crazy, right?
What?
Yeah, I thought there was a chance for a minute. That's a lot of work. When you get into be like 54, like, It's harder to lose weight. It's harder to get jacked and things like that. And then it's also harder to stay motivated. You're like, well, half my life is gone.
And his motivation is at the end of all of this, he gets handed like a $10 million
right,
check.
Right, I got nothing.
If I go out and get in shape,
right,
I spend money to do it.
Yeah, you add a few more years to your miserable life.
Exactly.
Great. Well played. Thank you.
Wow, pessimistic party of one.
All right, that's going to do it for your very inspiring Rock Report. Thank you, Lady Rock. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. And as people, we should be growing and we should be learning, in our faith and personally, you know. And I realized this the other day, I had a growth spurt, okay? So that's what we're going to call this, growth spurt. A lady had called and talked about the movie. You know the song, but the movie, I Can Only Imagine. Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. And she loved the movie and it meant a lot to her, and she loves the song and has a personal story connected to it. So we go through a whole, probably a good 2.5 minute song, the call, and we end up, and the whole time after that, I did not mention that I was in the movie, I Can Only Imagine. Because for the better part of a year, I talked about it just about every day. And if anyone even brought up the words I can or only, I was like, hey, speaking of that. So it's a growth spurt. I didn't even bring it up. I didn't make it about me. Are you proud, Lady Rock?
No, I'm not.
Why?
Because instead of not bringing it up to her, you're now bringing it up to thousands of people.
But there's a reason. It's growth spurt. And it's like,
I see it as more of a decline.
No. It's a growth spurt because it's like, okay, I'm moving on from that. That was one film. I'll do some more, I'm sure.
They're not coming in just yet. But
no,
sure.
No. They're, you know what? We got some stuff in the pipeline.
And when he said he was in this movie,
yes.
It was 0.3
no,
seconds.
No, it was about 8 seconds.
And you really have to pay attention or it's going to miss you.
It was a smidge less
than
a bull ride.
He sticks a CD into a CD player and that is it.
And I say some things and I still get residuals. So there you go. Go, Rock.
It grows his bank account every time.
So I think you. Growing?
I think you need to do it multiple times, though.
Thank you.
In a row, though, for it to be the true growth spurt. But that's
right.
A good start.
Well, let's see what your growth spurt is. They can be spiritual. They can be personal. They can be funny or they can be serious. Doesn't matter. But what is your growth spurt? What is the thing that you are like, you know what? I've done some growing. I've done some changing. I'm feeling pretty good about this. And hopefully the people in this room will be more supportive with you than they have been with me. Okay? I'm sure they will because they always are.
Maybe we'll grow one day.
Really, when I say the people in this room, when I say that, I kind of mean Betty. 855-33-WAY-FM is the number. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. What is your growth spurt? How have you changed a little bit? So, Sarah, what is your growth spurt?
My growth spurt occurred a few years ago. All of my friends were having babies, and I wasn't. My husband and I waited like what felt like forever to have a child, and every time somebody would get pregnant, I would take it personally. Mm. And my attitude was never always appropriate. And that got to a point where one of my friends took me out to dinner. Like, she bribed me with food to get me in a good mood and then said, by the way, I'm pregnant. And in that moment, I was so excited and not like upset, you know.
Oh, good.
And that was the moment that I knew I had made some progress. And then 3 years after the fact, I was pregnant. And in fact, our baby will be a year old next week. So God really used that to help me grow spiritually.
That is growth, because you can be consumed with your own stuff and you can't be happy for anybody else. And it's kind of like they say, you can't love someone till you love yourself. It's kind of that same thing. I totally get that. And Rock, you kind of, I think fall into a little bit of that category, or you used to, when your friends were getting married and you're single. And I think it used to mess with you more than it does now.
Yeah, it did. But I think the difference that helped me was finding a group of girls that didn't stop their lives just to find the love of their life, that they realized, I can still live a life that's full of love and full of quality just by being myself and being who I am. And that helped give me reassurance in the state of life that I was in as well.
You're absolutely correct. And one thing I will share is I volunteered full time at my church with our youth group. So my youth, they were like my kids. So they were my first kids, unless you count my husband. I'm not sure if that qualifies.
I got to tell you, you worked with the youth and still had kids? That's a miracle. What's yours?
It is perfectionism.
Now you've gotten less perfect?
well, would say that I've definitely learned to not allow perfectionism to rob joy from me. I had to give that over to the Lord, and it's been the most freeing thing to do, just to trust Him.
I think a lot of us can find ourselves in that situation, especially when we have a loud, critical voice. You know, we become our own worst critic. Nobody is criticizing us the way that our inner voice can.
Here's the most dangerous part of perfectionism, I think, is when you put those expectations on other people. Because, yeah, like you get it, right, Amber? You're surrounded by a lot of imperfect people, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, me too.
No, you're not a perfectionist. No, no, no. What is your growth spurt, Nikki?
Okay, so I've always struggled with anxiety, specifically health anxiety.
Oh, ding, ding, ding. Circle gets a square.
You have pushed a button.
Yeah, that is Betty Rock to a T.
I have learned don't go on WebMD. Every time it'll tell me I'm dying.
Yes, and I still tend to want to do that.
So what's your growth, Nikki? How are you getting past this for people like you and Betty?
Okay, well, God kind of hit me with it head on this last year. I was diagnosed with a DVT blood clot behind my left knee in April on Easter Sunday. And that specifically has been one of my biggest fears.
Can I tell you, Nikki, you were given a gift in this blood clot, and you want to know why?
Why?
Because people in your life are like, oh, you're such a hypochondriac, you're such a hypochondriac, you're so worried and anxious about healthcare, and you're like, ha-ha, I have a reason now. See, I got a blood clot. Check it out. Who was right here? Nikki was right. So, like, it actually is kind of good for you.
Right. And, I mean, I'm just going to say, like, I've put off counseling for years. My husband's tried to push me to get counseling, and I've been like, no, I don't need that. This last year, I have needed it, most definitely. And I'm seeing a Christian counselor, and she's helped me a whole lot. And I've kind of had to just learn to give everything to God because I can't control the outcomes.
And I think, too, when we have to face our fears, we realize we can live up to it. You know, that's the last thing we want to do. But I think it's awesome to see how you even sound like you have life in you again, because I'm telling you from firsthand experience, anxiety can drag you down. It can ruin your life. It can make you incapable of even living a life. So my hat's off to you for seeking the help that you needed to not only be a better version of you, but to be a better mom and a better wife.
Yes, because when you have anxiety, it doesn't just drag you down and affect you. It drags everybody around you down and affects everyone around you.
And you don't want to. It's not your intention to do that, but it does when you have people that care about you. So I love it. That's great, Nikki. That's a good growth spurt. And we appreciate you being on the show with us today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that's the end, but it doesn't have to be. Check out our Aftercast. It's new stuff you didn't hear in the podcast. Be sure to rate us on iTunes as well as connect with us on social media. That's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. Just search Wally Show. And if you'd like to join our Facebook group made exclusively for you potties, the link is in the description of this podcast. Thanks to Colorado Christian University Online and United Faith Mortgage for supporting what we do.